This podcast is part of the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hi, this is Chaz. When I want to listen to a show with practical information from an everyday guy who can't carry a cop just like me, I listen to my good friend Bob Main. Now on with the show.
Hi, folks. I'm Bob Main. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Well, this is a warning I'm going to give you right up front for this episode. I didn't have a plan of what I wanted to talk about until about 5 minutes before I turned this recorder on. I had a general idea, but I didn't really have a plan. I like to start every episode with at least a plan. Not this time. So let's see how it comes out for you. You know, last week I interviewed Maj Touré from Black Guns Matter. I've been getting a lot of compliments on that. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to that, go over there and listen to it. You know, he's an African-American man that is really doing some great work educating people that are in the inner cities, most of them African-Americans, about firearms. And I think his work is to be admired. So, once again, let me extend a great thank you to Maj Touré, Black Guns Matter. I'll probably have him back on this podcast again pretty soon. So I want to talk a little bit about the value of competition shooting. I'm not a competition shooting expert by any means. As a matter of fact, right now I'm only an IDPA sharpshooter. That's my classification. I came very close to master class. I think I missed master by like 2.5 seconds during one of the classifiers that I shot a few years ago. So I can't say that I'm an IDPA master class. And USPSA, I think my highest classification is either B or C class. I can't remember. It's been a long time since I've shot USPSA. But I do compete a lot. Not as much as I want, but a lot. Several times a year. And I've heard from some of you who listen to this show saying that you shot your first competition match recently. And then you wanted to tell me about it, and it's great. It's great to get those emails. I really appreciate that. Some of you said that you went out and shot your first competition match because of me, because I inspired you to do so. First, let's bust some myths. I want to bust some myths. The first one is, people say this all the time, competition shooting will get you killed out on the streets. You hear that a lot, you know, and I'm just going to throw an opinion out right now. My opinion is this: I think people who make those types of comments, that competition will get you killed, competition shooting will get you killed, I think 90% of those comments come from people who aren't very good at competition shooting. Know what I mean? That maybe they've tried it once or twice, didn't like it, or they stunk at it and got frustrated, so now they're just going to bash it. That's their... And that's human nature sometimes. You know, when I was a young man, I had a lot of good mentors teaching me a lot of good stuff. One of them would teach that unfortunately, some people choose the wrong way to have the tallest building in town. What they do is they go around trying to tear all the other buildings down, and now theirs, the one that they built, well, it's now tallest because they tore all the others down. Where a true professional, somebody who's respected, works real hard to build their building taller than everybody else. And so a lot of people just don't want to put in the time and effort to be a good competition shooter. It takes a lot of time, takes a lot of effort. There's a significant cost in getting to the upper levels. Now, there's not a real significant cost to get started in competition. So here's the first value that I want to talk about. It's trigger time. And it's trigger time for not much money. My local IDPA club, I believe, forgive me, Iron Mike Webb, if I'm getting this wrong. Texas Tactical here in San Antonio, Texas, is the IDPA club that I often shoot with. I believe it's $25 for non-members and $20 for members. And I'm not a member of the club. I should be. I should be. Mike, if you're listening, yeah, I know. I should become a member of Texas Tactical IDPA. But $25? Come on. That's peanuts, folks. That's peanuts. That's it. That's all you're going to pay. That's going to be your admission. $25. Most IDPA clubs will let you shoot your first match free. Now, you tell me where else that you can go to a shooting range, and you'll probably be, in the average IDPA match, you'll probably be there about 3 hours. So tell me where you can go have 3 hours of absolute fun with a handgun in your hand and shoot probably between 80 and 100 rounds doing things that you cannot do, literally just absolutely cannot do on most public ranges. Where can you do that for $25? Unless you know somebody that has a lot of land. And they'll let you come out there and do that often, like do it once a month. That's hard to find somebody that's got that, especially land where it's a safe shooting environment. So that's the first value, is it doesn't cost much to go to a match. It doesn't cost much to get started. What gun do you carry? What gun do you carry? Whatever handgun you have that you carry, that's all you need to get started. There it is. There it is. Just take that gun to the IDPA match. There will be a place for you. Now, when you're new, it doesn't really matter what gun you have. Because you're going to be new. You're going to be unclassified. You're going to be a novice. You're going to be given a new shooter's briefing. And even some match directors or safety officers will even sometimes put new shooters all on the same squad and have a pretty talented squad leader run those new shooters in the match, which I think is a pretty good idea. So your carry gun. All you need is a carry gun, a decent holster that mounts on your belt, that attaches to your body on your belt. For IDPA, not a thigh rig or anything like that. No shoulder holsters. And, you have to carry it in a decent holster, and don't go to a competition match with a $15 nylon holster or soft leather holster that doesn't stay open when you draw your handgun. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, some of you know the IDPA rules a little bit better than me, but I'm not even sure if a holster like that is allowed in IDPA. Because you do have to reholster every time you shoot, every time you draw your gun and shoot that course of fire, you're going to have to reholster, and it's pretty difficult reholstering with a holster that doesn't stay open. You're going to have to use your other shooting hand to kind of hold the holster open, and then you really run a huge risk of sweeping yourself with the muzzle of the gun, which will get you penalized and possibly even disqualified in a competition match. So use a decent holster and a decent belt. Use a gun belt. But really, the investment, other than what you paid for your gun, the investment is a decent holster, a gun belt, $25 admission, and you'll probably shoot about 100 rounds, or maybe a little less. So two boxes of ammunition. I shoot 9mm. That's $20 or less in ammunition, at least at today's prices. It's October 7th when I'm recording this, October 7th, 2016. So that's at today's prices. Who knows what's going to happen after the presidential election is over, but I digress. I'm not going there right now. Ben Branham and I talked about that 5 or 6 weeks ago on panic buying. So go back and listen to that older episode if you haven't. That's about it. That's how you can get started in competition shooting. So that's another value. You can do things you're just simply not going to be able to do at a public range. The type of gun handling that you're going to get a chance to do, drawing from the holster, performing reloads quite regularly in competition matches, loading and unloading your gun consistently, shooting while you're moving, which is essential in any gunfight. You know, people have said, well, competition shooting, Bob, it's not like a gunfight. And they're right. It's not like a gunfight. Because in a gunfight, you're not going to be attacked by cardboard targets standing still with scoring rings on them. That's not who's going to attack you. So in that sense, it's not like a gunfight. But you're going to be forced at times to move your body and shoot at the same time. Some of the targets you're going to shoot in a competition match, they're going to say you've got to shoot those on the move. So that's like a gunfight. That is like a gunfight. You'll be shooting when you're moving your body, and that is like a gunfight. Sometimes you're going to be asked to basically shoot from retention. In other words, you're going to draw your pistol out of your holster, and you're going to orient the muzzle towards the target. You're going to be maybe 2 or 3 yards from the target at the most, or maybe even 5 feet from the target. And you're going to be asked to shoot the target from there without bringing the gun to your line of sight. In IDPA, they call that shooting from retention. That's like a gunfight because you might need to shoot that way in a gunfight. Now, can you do this at a public range? I don't think so. Unless you're taking a class at a public range or unless you've rented an entire training bay to yourself and you've gotten the approval from the range to do that, you can't do what I just mentioned. So there's another value in competition. And yes, parts of competition are very much like a gunfight. In IDPA, you have to perform reloads. And most of the time, you have to perform a reload from a cover position. Not all the time, but most of the time, you have to perform a reload from a cover position. Sometimes in IDPA, everything you do on a stage will be standing and delivering. In other words, you'll be standing there, you'll shoot an array of targets, and then you'll have to perform a reload and then shoot the array of targets again. Well, obviously, you're not behind cover when you do that, but most of the time, you're behind cover. Well, that's like a gunfight. Because ideally, isn't that when you want to reload? I mean, you want to reload whenever you need to. All right, so let me go ahead and talk about some negatives of competition shooting. At least in IDPA, which is International Defensive Pistol Association, making you reload from behind cover, that's a good thing because that's ideally where you want to reload your gun. Reality, if you're in a gunfight, if you're in a real gunfight, you reload that gun whenever you need to, okay? Whether you're behind cover or not, get some more ammo in that gun and keep fighting if that's what you have to do. After all, your life is on the line. What are you going to do? Are you going to stop in the middle of the gunfight and say, oh, hey, you know that cover point over there that's about 20 yards? I'm going to run to that cover 20 yards away so I can reload. Don't do that. Do a speed reload. In other words, you've already got one in the chamber, but you know you're almost out of ammo. Drop that magazine on the ground, get another magazine in there, and keep on fighting. You might be doing that on the move. Now, if cover is real close by, that might be a different story. But it is important to always be looking for cover points. It's just not always realistic that you're going to have cover nearby, especially if it's a relatively crowded area and you have to defend your life. Because after all, that is why you carry a gun, is it not? So, there are some negatives of competition shooting, yes. I believe that the positives far outweigh the negatives. Far outweigh the negatives. Now, even if you take what you learn from competition shooting, and you go to some defensive handgun classes, and you take what you learn from the defensive handgun classes, and you put the skills together, and one day that we all hope never comes, I hope never comes, and you got to get that gun out of your holster, and you got to defend your life with that gun, you could do everything right, and even win the fight and stop the bad guy. But that's only the first fight. The second fight is going to be fighting the legal system. You're going to get sued. And yes, the bad guy's family is going to sue you. And then you got to fight to clear your good name. And that's very expensive. Paul Lathrop from the Polite Society podcast, who interviewed with me back in episode 381, had to spend $12,500. He never even used his gun, never even presented his gun, still got arrested. And even after he got arrested, not even having to use his gun, it cost him 12 grand, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you listening to this podcast right now have 12 grand in the bank right now to just hand over to an attorney to get your defense started? The Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network sponsors the Self-Defense Radio Network. And for only $135 a year, they'll take that worry away from you. Go to armedcitizensnetwork.org, armedcitizensnetwork.org. Please use the tracking code Paul when you sign up. You can call them or sign up on the internet. Just please put in the tracking code Paul. It'll help the Self-Defense Radio Network. And we're a young network. We're just trying to get off the ground, so you'll help financially support us. So another value of competition shooting is that it develops a lot of camaraderie. We learn a lot from other people. I've studied how people learn, and I've studied it for a long time. And it's one of the reasons why I used to be a good sales trainer when I was in the sales training business. It's why I've been a good sales manager. It's why I've been a good, pretty good business person. And I never stop learning, folks. I never, ever stop learning. It applies to shooting. You never stop learning when you shoot. You know how you can recognize a professional in anything that he or she does? You know somebody's a professional by what they learn after they think they already know it all. I'll say that again. You'll know a professional by what they learn after they think they know it all. You got to have that open mind. You have to always be learning. I've changed my mind on some things. Since the very first day that I did this podcast, the Handgun World podcast, it was in August of 2009, my first episode. My show is a little over 7 years old. In August of 2009. Since that day, I have changed my mind on a lot of things. My outlook on shooting, self-defense, and everything related to shooting and self-defense, it's changed. Some of the basic principles and some of my basic core beliefs are the same, but I've changed my mind on a lot of things. So you'll hear it. Go back and listen to some of my older episodes. Go listen to some of my older episodes. You know, go way back. You can do it all at handgunworld.com, handgunworld.com. Every single episode is posted on my website. You can just stream them right off the website. as well. They don't all show up in iTunes, but a lot of them do. And you'll hear a progression of ideas that I once had that now I've changed my mind on those. So the camaraderie of learning from other people at a competition match is another value. You'll be at the match with extremely good shooters, average shooters, not so good shooters, novices, and you'll be at a match with those people who think they know it all. And you'll be able to learn from all of them, folks. Every single one. You can learn from everybody. You can learn from, of course, some of the best shooters in the world. You can learn from average shooters. You can even learn from the knuckleheads who think they know it all that really don't when they add up their score at the end of the stage. You know, you can learn how much they really don't know. And then you can apply that to what you saw the really good shooters do. And you can learn from the novice shooters because, you know what, after you got half a dozen matches under your belt and you're no longer really a novice, your classification might be novice because you haven't shot a classifier yet, but okay, you've done it a half a dozen times now. You're not really a brand new novice shooter. You can learn from the novices and say, hey, you know what, 6 matches ago I was in the same position as that guy or that woman. I didn't know what I was doing. I was scared. I showed up here because a friend of mine had me come. And you know, I can relate to that. You'll also see novice shooters being taught things at a competition match that are very basic that maybe you realized, oh, hey, I need to sharpen up on that. So that's what I've been doing wrong. You might hear a safety officer or an experienced shooter give a novice shooter some tips. And you'll learn from that. So that's another value of competition shooting. Yet another value of competition shooting is testing out your gear. Everything. Your gun, your ammo, your belt, your holster, even your shooting glasses. Everything. Testing out your gear. That is one of the best benefits. You'll find out real quickly what works and what doesn't work. You'll find out real quickly what causes your gun to jam and what doesn't. You'll find out real quickly what ammo your handgun runs best with and what it doesn't. And I don't care who you are, what you shoot, or what you say. Every semi-automatic handgun likes certain ammo better than other ammo. It might run everything. In other words, it might feed everything flawless, but certain types of ammo might be more accurate in your handgun. And every gun is different. Other types of ammunition might not be very accurate in your handgun. And you'll find that out at a match. And once you find out what your gun works best with, stick with that ammo. If you want, it's not a bad idea to go to an IDPA match or a USPSA match. Shoot the whole match with your carry ammo. Yeah, I know that's expensive. Here's a good question. How much is your life worth? Is your life worth the money you'd spend shooting your carry ammo at an IDPA match? Okay, it's 80 to 100 rounds of carry ammo. Yeah, that's a significant cost. Folks, my life's worth that. How about yours? Sit down one day at home in a quiet room. Get out a pen and paper or get out your computer. And write a title on the piece of paper. Or write a title on the Microsoft Word document, or if you're using an Apple, whatever you're using to write a document. Title that page, How Much My Life Is Worth. That's the title of your page. How much is my life worth? then answer that question. Start putting a price to your life. Start doing it. Start figuring out how much it's going to cost your kids to be without you if you don't defend yourself. You might say, well, Bob, there's no price to that. That's the point. But go ahead, just go ahead and put down a dollar figure anyway. Just put that dollar figure down on paper. And then just stare at that dollar figure for a while. Let it sink in. Compare that dollar figure to the cost of 100 rounds of concealed carry defensive ammo. Which option looks better to you when you do this? It never ceases to amaze me when people complain about the cost of concealed carry gear. Why are they carrying a gun in the first place if they are going to complain about every minute dime that they have to spend? How about training? Compare the cost of coming to a training class that I teach with Ben Branham, $450 for a two-day, $275 for a one-day class. Compare that cost. By the way, if you're a Self-Defense Radio Network listener, you get a discount. Go to selfdefenseradio.net, selfdefenseradio.net. Click the listener discount page at selfdefenseradio.net. You can get a discount off of any of the classes that Ben Branham and I teach. You can also get a discount signing up for our Shooters Club video membership on an annual membership. So just use the password SDRN, all lowercase. SDRN, all lowercase, is your password to get the discounts. And if you forget all this, go to the show notes. Go to handgunworld.com. Go to the show notes for this episode. I'll post it all there. But take that cost of a training class, $450. Compare that to the dollar figure that you just wrote down under the question, how much is my life worth? How much money is it going to cost to sustain your family if you're not there to bring in the steady income that you bring in? Now, I'm not saying that it's all about money. I'm not saying that life is all about money. But come on. Would you agree that there's definitely a lot of money being spent to support you and your family? And if you're not there to bring that money in, where is it coming from? How much is your life worth? So that's another benefit of competition shooting. You get to go test your gear. You get to find out what holster works the best. You're going to be put under some stress in competition. You won't have the stress of somebody shooting back at you, which is probably the highest level of stress I can think of. But you will be put under stress because you're racing against a clock. You know, the objective is to shoot that stage in the least amount of time and be accurate enough so that you get scores on each target. Well, defensive shooting is the same way, pretty much. You don't have much time, and you got to score with your hits. You got to stop the bad guy. I was at a gun show several years ago when I lived in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Of course, if some of you don't know, I'm in San Antonio now. When I lived in the Dallas area, I went to a gun show, and there was I took one of my Glocks to a gunsmith at the show that did real good work on Glocks, and we got into a chat about competition shooting, about IDPA. And somebody else at the table had heard us, and the other guy, I can't remember his comment word for word, but his comment was something like, oh, none of that stuff that's in a competition match can be used in real life. He said something like that. And the gunsmith looked at him and said, can you tell me what it is about learning how to draw your gun and shoot fast and accurately on target is not applicable to real life? The guy had no comeback. None whatsoever. He was right. And I kind of stood there with a stunned look on my face, because I wouldn't have thought to ask the guy that. But the gunsmith did. And I thought that was fabulous question. Just terrific. So let me take a quick break and I'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Rob Morse from the Polite Society Podcast. I took a Beyond Concealed Carry Advanced class with Ben Branham, Bob Main, Chaz Murray, and Tracy Thronberg. I wish every concealed carrier took a class like this one. The class covered both basic shooting skills and advanced topics. Skills like shooting from unusual positions, shooting with one hand while moving, and shooting when in contact with the target. Those are the real skills you want if you were ever forced to use your firearm. I was impressed because I'm not the perfect student. No, far from it. I took the class because I needed competent instructors to teach me and correct my many mistakes. They did that with professional skill. I plan to train with them again.
Okay, I'm back. During that last segment, I was doing some driving, so that's probably why you heard some background noise. And then towards the last half of that last segment, I got to stop. Now I'm in the comfort of my office. So anyway, let's continue about the advantages and the value of competition shooting. Something else that I have learned and that has really helped me in competing is I get a chance to shoot at moving targets as well. And this is something where this is a little bit difficult to do on your own. The great thing about IDPA and USPSA shooting clubs is they invest the money in moving targets. And it's important to be able to hit and shoot at moving targets. Once again, you know, the spirit of competition, especially IDPA, is supposed to be practicing your defensive pistol skills. And yes, I know it's turned into a game for a lot of people. In fact, there are people who just shoot the game and don't even carry a gun. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's the choice that they make, then that's the choice that they make. They're free to make those choices. My thoughts are, if I'm going to spend time and a little bit of money and effort, I'm going to try to get something out of it beyond just playing a game, although it's fun. See, remember, the most important thing in all of this is having fun. Most things are not going to be good for you to continue to do if they're not fun. Most people don't want to keep doing things that aren't fun, right? So the game part of it is important to keep it fun. But I also think that being able to get some kind of a defensive use out of competition shooting is important. Shooting a moving target, you have to think about real life. Chances are the bad guy might be a moving target. As I said in the previous segment, you're going to be on the move, but it also increases your skill a lot if you can shoot and make decent hits on a moving target. It really increases your skill a lot. And the props needed for creating a moving target, I mean, they're not cheap. They're not hard to make. If you buy them, they're not cheap to buy. So that's what's great, is your local club quite likely has moving targets that you can shoot during the match. And again, we're talking $20 or $25 for the entire competition. That's a bargain, folks. So I urge you to take advantage of it. That was pretty much the last point that I wanted to talk about in the value of competition shooting. Send me some feedback. I'd like to know about your experiences in competition shooting. You know, there's several ways to do it. You can call in a voicemail to the Handgun World podcast, 210-646-1727. I'd like to hear your experience. Give me some thoughts, positives, negatives about competition shooting. Some of you are real experienced at it. Love to hear what you have to say and comments about this particular episode. But maybe you've got some other things to add as well, and I'll put you on the Handgun World podcast, maybe even the next episode if you drop me a voicemail. 210-646-1727. You can always email me, bob@handgunworld.com. If you like what I cover on the Handgun World podcast, if it's something that you like, how about giving me an iTunes review? It's been a while since I've got an iTunes review on this show. I have received a lot of them, but it's really important for people who are still checking out my podcast to be able to read some reviews. So if you use an Apple product and you use iTunes, go over there and go to the feed where you find my podcast. Leave me a review. I'd very much appreciate that, and that would be very helpful. Please remember, you can support my show financially and not even have to spend any extra money. All you got to do is whenever you make an Amazon purchase, just go to handgunworld.com, go to my Amazon store first, and follow that link when you go to Amazon. Then that way, Amazon pays me a small commission. Every little bit helps. And this is not my full-time job. Most of you know I have a regular full-time day job. But it's kind of nice to be able to, after 7 years, be able to get this this podcast to not only pay for itself, but also give a little bit of a return to me for all the time that I put in to help bring you some good content. I believe I'm going to have another interview for next week. I had one set up for this week, but because of some family medical emergencies, I had to cancel that interview. And I will probably be conducting that interview next week. So that's about all I'm going to say on that. Be sure to tune in. Also, listen to many of the other good podcasts on the Self Defense Radio Network. Several of the podcasts I've been listening to lately are very good. Gun Freedom Radio is one of them. Self Defense Gun Stories, the Gun Blog Variety Cast, of course, the Polite Society podcast, Liberty on Point, Ben Branham's Modern Self-Protection podcast, my other show, Today's Survival Show, if you like prepping. That's a good one for you to listen to. Politics Daily podcast, Geeks, Gadgets, and Guns. And of course, lately I've been listening to some episodes at Armed Lutheran Radio. Armed Lutheran Radio, Lloyd Bailey. He's got a great program. Good stuff on there. Very thought-provoking information. So check it out. You can also go to selfdefenseradio.net and you can see them all there in one place. You can even find all the episodes. You can click on the episodes. You can read about the podcasts. You can get show notes, tracking codes for the promos, listener discounts on training and Shooters Club memberships, all kinds of stuff. Go to selfdefenseradio.net. With all that said, folks, thanks for listening to another episode of the Handgun World podcast. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Remember to read your Bible every day. And also, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. Shoot straight, shoot safe. I'll catch you next week. Goodbye.